Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hi, I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Each episode, comedians join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben, that's Ronnie. Hey Ronnie, how's it going?
Hi Ben.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to the recap of the season finale, or is it the series finale, or is it just the Ariana's finale? Is it anyone's finale of Vanderpump Rules? Wow, we don't know.
What does that mean? Did you just fire Ariana in your head?
In my mind, I thought they were saying that Ariana's leaving the show. That's how I interpreted this episode.
Is it?
Or they were leaving that suggestion that she might be leaving it. I don't know. It felt like the end of something. It felt very much like, remember when Kim Zolciak quit Real Housewives of Atlanta? And she was at a meal. They were all at a restaurant. And she's like, I'm done. And she walked up and she got in the truck with Croy and they drove off to Happily Ever Never. And it just seemed like she was leaving the dinner. But then it turns out she actually had just left the show. And that's happened like a few times on Bravo where someone has like literally just walked off and you don't, and you're like, oh, this is like when Tinsley did it. When Tinsley's like, you know what? I'm going to go. And she like got into a car and drove off. And then they gave her like a goodbye Tinsley thing.
Yeah. I don't think this was that. I don't think so. Because Ariana is not walking away from a check for Tom Sandoval. I don't think she's going to be like, okay, I'm going to give up zillions of dollars a year because of that worm. I think if anything, she'll go, if they make it like that, like you either have to shoot with him or whatever, I would think that she'd be like, no, I'm going to show up just to spite him, you know? But I don't know. Maybe.
No, but it was like the finale, the end of this episode was just like full of so much.
I don't understand breakups. I never do. I never believe them. I never think people are going to break up. When someone quits at work, I'm like, they'll be back. Every time. Like, I never think anyone's really going to walk out or quit anything. I just assume everyone stays everywhere forever.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. Except before we're already diving into this real quickly. As you know, as I hope you know, we're doing shows in London, Dublin, and Birmingham. London is sold out. Thank you very much, everyone. Go to watchcrappens.com to get your tickets. Also, we have a project that we are embarking on and that we actually need help from the Crappens community. Two things, actually. So we cover a huge amount of shows, and we write notes for a huge amount of shows. And actually, one of our listeners, Colleen, has been helping us do some notes, which has been a game changer for us. And now as we go to Europe, we're going to need actually even more help for writing notes. And, you know, Colleen's already doing a great job and we want to help her out as well. So if you are interested in helping us write notes for these shows.
These are transcripts. These are not like jokes or anything like
no
that.
No jokes.
These are just like straight up. If you are a very fast typist and you can sit down and just barf out whatever's happening on the TV screen within an hour's time, then you're the person for us. Because that's basically all we need is like a transcript. And then we come in and write the jokes and do all that stuff after. But if you guys want to do that, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, it would help us out a lot.
It's small pay, but it's pay. So if you can do that and have, you know, same night turnaround and not be a fucking flake, then give us a ring over at watchwhatcrappens@gmail.com and put in the subject line transcript gig.
I thought you'd say transcript gay. I'm a transcript gay. I'm a transcript daddy.
We will also search transcript gay because that's a thing now. So transcript gig or transcript gay to watchwhatcrappens@gmail.com.
And the big thing is we need quick turnaround. So like when the shows air, we just need them by the next, like latest by the next morning.
Yeah, and if you're really not a fast typist, don't be like, oh, you know, I'm going to do this anyway and just stay up 5 hours to do that. Just do it if you're naturally a fast typist and you can do it, because trust me, it's much harder than you think trying to get this shit done when you can't type. So if you guys are interested, give us a ring. Also, we're organizing after, listen, we have 2,000 something episodes listed. In the back end, we're a lot more than that. There were thousands and thousands of episodes. So we're organizing everything into playlists, you know, favorite moments, stuff like that. So if there's anybody who's organizational and you want to get involved in that, we're going to announce something on somewhere. Probably we'll announce that later. So right now, let's concentrate on transcripts.
Transcripts is important, but what we have someone, our friend Paul is going to go through and he's going to start making playlists of shows and seasons. So that way, if you say, you know what, I want to listen to the recaps of Real Housewives of New Jersey season 7, you'll be able to come to our website and go directly to a Spotify playlist that shows all of our New Jersey recaps that came from season 7. So, you know, we're going to be needing everyone's help to help Paul, because there's a lot to go through. So we'll have more information about that. But like Ronnie said, if you are interested in transcribing, just email us, watchwhatcrappens@gmail.com.
And transcript gig.
Yeah, we want to get this operation, you know, up and running, you know?
Guys, 12 years into it, we're going to get profesh.
Yeah.
Okay? Because certain things are coming back that have been on forever, and people are emailing us all the time, like, where do I find this episode? Where do I find this? And people have been great on Reddit, making playlists and stuff like that. And so we're going to just jump in and
consolidate all that info. You know, bring it all together, make it useful for everyone.
Yes.
And we're going to have fun with it. So,
okay. You know. So let's move on to Vanderpump Rules.
Wow.
This Vanderpump is the season finale, season 11, episode 15. Wow. Here we go.
Here we go. Is everyone ready for some cloudy San Francisco weather? Because that's what this episode is. So we're back in San Fran. There's a trolley. Dan and Ariana are snuggling in bed in this hotel. I don't know what hotel this was, but it depressed me.
The Argonaut.
The Argonaut, that's right. It felt a little bit like a dorm or like a boarding house, right? It was like brick walls and everything seemed kind of small. Is that just me?
Welcome to San Francisco.
So there's Dan and Ariana.
I've stayed in a non-awkward, weird spot in San Francisco. And we've been there a bunch now. And it's been weird ever since. Do you remember that time I had a fit and had to move because the air conditioner, they didn't have an air conditioner at the hotel? Who lives like that? How do you even go to a big city and there's no air conditioner? Are you fucking kidding me, town? Bye. I can't believe I actually have to Google, does this place have air conditioning because of San Francisco? Like, I literally have to Google that now. I didn't know that we lived in that kind of a world with places without air conditioning. Come on!
Well, San Fran has it defies expectations. So, so there's some snuggling, and then we have James and Allie hanging out in bed, and James is saying it was really sort of awkward to hang out with Sandoval, and Allie's like, yeah, I wonder if Dan is going to come around today. Like, have they even, like, met?
I think she means has he met Sandoval? And James is like, well, tonight's going to be the big meeting, huh? All of us, the family! So then we go to Lala and Katie. James seriously has cried every episode this season. Just want to point that out. Somebody help James, okay? I know that a lot of people in the audience take it as like, oh my God, James is crying. He's really showing his emotions. James is so grown up now. No. Crying every episode is, and this isn't like a man thing, like, ooh, be more masculine, bruh. It's not that. He's a basket case, is what I'm saying. Somebody help James. Something's going on over there. I don't know what it is, but it's something. Go help him. It's not going to be me. I'm not a very helpful person in that way. But I can call the police. You know what I mean? I'm the person to make a call. If you need like help called, that's great. Just don't call me for help. I'll call Ben to come help you. Anyway, the point is, Help him.
I'm not going to.
Okay,
help.
So Lala and Katie. So Lala's like, the way, you know, every time I would ask Ariana, is Stan going to be okay on this trip? Like, what if there's an interaction with Sandoval? She's like, Dan has been in fights before. He does not fuck around. And if Sandoval were to walk up to him like, hey, how are you? There's no way that Dan would shake his hands. I'm like, this guy sounds like a fucking square.
Katie's like, I think he's like the sweetest person. Sorry, it's the morning. I have extra in me. And then Sandoval, meanwhile, is just in his room, and he's brought his Philips Hughes. Like, his room is fuchsia at the moment, and he's FaceTiming Schwartz. And Schwartz's like, oh, look, I'm in the hot tub. I'm in the bathtub. I mean, look, there's jets in the bathtub. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it's amazing. I wish I had my rubber ducky, because I'm a little boy.
You know, so crazy. Tom Sandoval has to plug in a black light wherever he went. How did nobody see the DNA all over him when he was coming home late?
It's true.
You know what I mean? That's like literally point. A CSI tool. How did we not notice? No one noticed, you know? So yeah, he's like, Sandoval says, I thought your hands were your toes for a second because you have such long toes. And he's like, oh my God, I thought you said, let me see your toes again for a second. Oh, back up. Tom Sandoval looks crazy, by the way. His face looks crazy. Definitely let's all stop shaving our faces. Because remember when he was like shaving his whole entire face for
Manzoing
like exfoliation?
Yeah.
And like Caroline Manzo. I used to do that. And I've stopped now. Actually, no, I didn't, because I actually shaved in between my eyebrows here the other day because I was in a hurry. And then, look, they're uneven now because I use a really big razor. I use one of those ones with 5 blades in it.
Wow.
I'm an American, so I'm like, put as many blades as you can in there, Big Mike, or whatever it's called.
Big Mike.
And it's like Mike's Razors or something. I forget what it's called.
I was like, who's Big Mike? It's just like it's like he's the brother of, he also makes them subs in Jersey.
He makes big, it's like Mike's or I don't know, some
premium razor blade. It's very premium.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about today. Let's all stop shaving our faces is the point, because Tom Sandoval's not looking good. Okay.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
He also, I mean, I kind of feel like he's on roids because like he's just sort of getting like more and more swole every episode in a way that like does not just happen from, you know, hitting that home gym.
So, to me, it looks like Matthew. It looks like crystal meth use mixed with fillers. Not accusing anybody. I'm just saying, as far as facial trajectories go, that's meth face with fillers. But I don't know. Maybe it's a lot of Adderall or something. I don't know. But dude, you've been shaving your face for too long to be using roids or meth or whatever you're doing. Okay, I don't like you, but take fish oil and stop using whatever it is that you're using because you look nuts. You look crazy.
Yeah. He is he's on a journey. So then we go to Sheena and Brock, and Brock's like, so is Tom helping you set up everything for your performance? And she's like, yeah, like all the sound for like all the performances, they're like building a stage and it's like a big deal.
She's like, how do you feel about last night's convo? Did you get to sleep on it? What are we gonna do about Tom Sandoval?
Why does everybody care so fucking much?
I know.
Did you wonder that at all? Like, who cares? I mean, he's obviously still coming around. Why do we all have to make such big, huge decisions about it?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess because it's the season finale, but...
I just feel like... Yeah, I mean, I understand why Sheena is torn, because she feels bad turning her back on someone who is like has like done nice things for her. But I just feel like she's just overthinking it. Just like go with the flow. Like, he's a piece of shit. It's really not that hard. But Sheena's like... Well, like we have like a good productive, we have like good productive conversations, and then it's like, are you like genuine or are you like playing me? Because like Ariana's gonna like feel different about him and like not think anything's good or genuine because like what he did. I'm like, if you're questioning whether or not your friend is genuine or not, that's already an inherent problem with this friendship. So it's time to move on.
Yeah, and who cares what Ariana thinks about him being genuine or not? Do you think so or not? And I think at the end of the day, Sheena is choosing, this guy sent me a PayPal when I was broke, which is not completely insignificant.
Yeah, actually a very legitimate thing.
I think so, too. I mean, the guy PayPal'd you when you needed it the most. Nobody else did that. And now he's going to pretend your music gig is legit. and wasn't just handed to you by your friend who is leeching off of your Instagram following and the TV show that you're on. You know, and that's something too. I mean, a friend who will buy into your delusion is also not insignificant. And so I say just be friends with him if you fucking want to, but don't go up to the ex and cry about it like she's supposed to feel for you and give you some kind of passport into being his friend. It's weird. And I guess she's doing that because Ariana said she will not be friends with her ex's friends or whatever. I get it, but you're doing it anyway. What do you think she's going to think of when she sees this whole season and you secretly sliming around everywhere?
Exactly. You know what? Like, it's almost like just be friends who you want to be friends with. If you decide you want to be friends with someone, just be friends with that person and like back yourself up in it. Like don't be afraid. Like, if you want to still be friends with Sandoval, even though we all think he's a piece of shit, you know, you have a different relationship with him than the rest of America does. And like, just stand in your truth there. And if Ariana has a problem with it, then you also know where you stand with Ariana, quite frankly. And like, because if you and Ariana are really tight friends, you know, like, I understand, like, you want to be loyal to your friend. But if you want to be friends with someone, like, ultimately, you have to make the friendships based off of what you want in your life and what matters to you. And you can't make your friendships based off of what someone else says. And
what matters to you is getting PayPal'd. And you know what? That's okay. This is America.
And nothing is permanent on this show. How many times have people just hated each other and then the next season they're friends? So if you lose Ariana now as a friend, I guarantee it will not be permanent, you know? So
well,
I'm not advocating to turn on Ariana. I'm just saying,
you're
piggybacking on you guys. I'm totally canceled by the Bubba community.
Ben is off this show. This is now a solo show. No, I don't think it's really the getting dumped by Ariana thing, even though that's what she's saying for the show. It's the getting tortured online thing, which they mentioned a couple of times in this episode. If they don't choose the right side, then the fans bully them and, you know, all this stuff. And I get that, but you're already doing it, Sheena. You're not living in this bubble. This has been taped. This whole season has been taped. And so you pretending like, oh, well, you guys can't be mad at me because I'm not saying I'm friends with them. You are. You're shooting with them. You're doing the whole thing. You're hugging him, crying, working it all out. And people are just going to bully you. I mean, that's part of the price of what you're doing. You know, that's the price you pay for what you're doing. And sometimes you're going to take shit. But I think it makes it worse with this whole fakery of like, I really need to make sure Ariana feels okay. If that was the case, you never would have spoken to him first place in the first place. And you guys would have all banded together and not shot with him. Now, I'm not saying that's what you should have done, but you could have done that and you didn't. So you guys slowly let him back in because why? Because you're jealous. And we see how you're sitting around there with Lala. Obviously, you guys have been talking a certain way about this relationship and Tom and Ariana this whole season. And finally, Lala just completely lets that mask fall off to the floor and becomes Dorinda on her last episode of Real Housewives of New York in the glitter turban. With lipstick smeared all over her face. You motherfucker, we're shooting with Tinsley. Tinsley doesn't have to do nothing. How dare you bring up Tinsley's name? And just does a full fucking Dorinda. And we see you. You know what I mean? So you can think you're pulling one over on everybody, but you're not. So just as Katie would say it with your chest, brah.
Actually, I think Katie would say, it's weird. You're weird. I think
bullying in 2024.
Yeah, I think that Sheena ultimately, like, there's a way in which you can be like friends with Ariana, and there's a way in which you can say to Sandoval, like, you know what, like, I've moved on, our friendship is different now. You know, and like you just, because by the way, like five other people in the cast have done that. It's just Sheena's the only one who's really struggling here. She can't figure it out.
Because Sheena's also struggling with the fact that she's trying to center herself as the main victim in all of this.
She was not in the relationship,
and she was not cheated on. But somehow Sheena is the biggest victim in Scandoval. So she's trying to position herself and like, how do I not only get Ariana to not be pissed at me, but how do I forgive Tom when I act like I'm the biggest one? I'm the biggest victim here. And she still hasn't forgiven him, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, like, and Brock's like, you know what, the truth is that, like, out of those two, Ariana and Tom, I'm sorry, but I love Ariana, but she doesn't reach out. Tom reaches out. And he says that Tom has been the most generous and caring friend that we've had in our whole friend group. And he does things and acts with Sheena, like, does things for her, like, without, like whenever she, Sandoval does things when Sheena needs him and doesn't like advertise. It doesn't tell people. He just does them.
Listen, he buys his friends in a way, you know, so, you know, you can be bought. So have fun with that.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.
So then Sheena is like, well,
I do not agree with that, internet. So please do not come for me. Ariana is a very good friend to me. And I talk to Ariana the most people in my life. Okay? More than most people. Except my Paso Doble teacher. Wink, wink. Just saying, whenever you're ready for me, I'm still here.
I mean, I talk to Ariana more than most people in my life. I don't know if she talks to me, though. Because otherwise, I probably would have known about Dancing with the Stars. But that's okay. I'm not mad at all. And Brock's like, well, yeah, she was. She bails out of things often. Yeah. But like in this group, Ariana is like the person that probably isn't going to show up, but like always wants to be invited. And like, I will never turn my back on Ariana because I'm on TV and because she has always been there for me. And so like, obviously I'm team Ariana, America, obviously.
And Brock's like, you got a dog in the fight now. Oh, shut up, Brock. Of course you're going to stand up for the fucking cheater. Okay.
So,
of course you are. So Trolley gang going up on a hill. So James is just hanging off the pole. Now, all of this talking, I can't believe we're already 20 minutes into this, because I do have to say, in general, this is extremely boring, and I'm glad they're taking a year off or whatever they're doing, because there's nothing in this season left. It has been squeezed. It has been dripped out. The fact that they're only making it to 15 is crazy. And I think they were supposed to do 14 and they somehow squeezed another episode out of this is crazy. James hanging off the side of the trolley was one of the more exciting moments of this episode.
Only because you know how much he was annoying all the locals, because he was hanging off the side of the trolley going, hello, San Francisco. I just played San Francisco. Wiggy, 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 wiggy.
It's like, ns. Nailed it. Nailed San Francisco.
Yeah. Brock is like, oh, I feel like I'm Mrs. Doubtfire. Remember they went in the trolley? Yeah. I would love to see Brock dress as Mrs. Doubtfire. He would just probably look the same with like a little wig on. He's like, hello, kids. I'm from London and I'm a nanny and I'm here to be close to Sally Field.
Doubtfire. So, because he doesn't have a job ever. Okay, so he's like remixing the trolley. He's just like ding 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 ding. It's a remix, everybody. So I can't, well, see. I love James on the trolley. I'm sorry. Okay, you know what?
I was
talking
like,
about it in another 30 minutes.
Stay. I honestly was disappointed in the editors that they did not splice in a Southwest Airlines flight over James in the trolley. Like, I feel like they should have maintained that even in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think so too. So Lala is like, so Ariana, were you always going to come on the trolleys even if the other person was here? She's like, I don't know. Like, why do everywhere we go, we have to be questioned about fucking something by Lala?
What's up with the trolley interrogation? Like, is this a genuine trolley excursion for you, or is this only because Sandoval's not here?
And I have to say, it's like literally you're questioning the most boring people. I mean, I'm sorry, but Dan has nothing to say. Okay, I'm sure Dan's a very nice person, but from what we've seen on the show, literally has nothing going on, and she just keeps questioning him. If this were an episode of Law and Order, it would have been over before the second dunk. It would have just been like dunk, and there would have been no second dunk because we would have all just tuned out before we even got to this part. Okay,
so we see Sandoval setting up over at Kyle Chan's event. And then we go back to James still on the trolley going, next stop, Chinatown! I'm like, sir, could you just try to be, you're like a celebrity, could you just try to be chill right now? You're hanging up a trolley being where, listen, I've been to San Francisco many times and I've never seen someone as obnoxious and terrible as James on this trolley. Listen, even if you go to the Grove, you don't see people acting like this on the trolley there. This is just mortifying.
Mm-hmm. So we go to House of Nanking, and she was like, hello, thank you.
Thank you. She's like, hello. Hi, House of Nanking. Hi. I actually went to this restaurant once. It was really good. Which you know, because the whole rest of the episode, everyone's like, the meal today was amazing. So they are ordering food, and Brock's like, so what did everyone do last night after that amazing 1920s Great Gatsby Al Capone sort of Clockwork Orange party that we did. And
Lala's like, I cuddled with Kiris in bed and we watched TVs. And then it just shows them sleeping in corpse position in bed. Cancel the show. Just cancel it. Just end it. What are you doing? You're on fucking vacation for the season finale and they just both show them both like laying in the corpse position in bed.
Watching fucking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Recast it,
okay? At this point, just bring in the Villa Vanderpump people, even though we quit that one.
How dare you? Don't even. That was the show that made me almost quit reality TV. I did like that they were sleeping to while Lisa Vanderpump was on TV going, the crowd is heavy, darling. So then, there's just more talk about this, just sort of like the cuddling and everything in Schwartz. And then Sheena asks Schwartz, have you ever had like a threesome? He goes, oh, not yet. You know, every story from all my friends is that threesomes are not as good as you might think they are. I mean, I'm not ruling it out, but it's like a bucket thing, right? I don't know. I guess in the past, the only threesome I ever thought about was me, Butters, and Gordo. Oh, no, that's so wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
If I ever woke up after having a threesome with Tom Schwartz, I would consider the bucket for sure. I would definitely be looking for a bucket to kick. So Schwartz is like, wow, so you know what? If you release CO2 from the beer, then you get less bloated. Okay, why is the show still on? They should have canceled it one scene ago. Now there needs to literally be someone standing there with a gong, okay? Now we're talking about how you get less gas.
And by the way, Schwartz is, I don't know if this is factually correct. It feels like it's not correct. And then Brock goes, is that a thing? I'm going to cross-reference with Dan the bartender. And Dan's like, I did see this on YouTube. I was like, that's not make it realer. It just means someone on YouTube said something.
Well, isn't that history? I mean, we study history. That's all that is. I mean, that's all language is. Somebody made one grunt and pointed at something, and so now we're calling it Starbucks.
Starbucks is the legacy of a grunt. So Lala's like, okay.
It's biblical, okay.
All right, Dance, you passed round one, which is why did you come on the trolleys? Now we're going to get into the real shit, okay? So what do you do for work? And he's like, yeah, well, I train 7 days a week, and then I'm also a bartender on the weekend. By the way, I like how last week they're like, wow, Dan has two jobs. That is cool that he has two jobs, but being a bartender/personal trainer is not like I just don't put that in the same class as someone who is like working an office job and then has to work like a retail job after work.
Excuse me? What? How dare you? Do you think bartending is easy?
No, I'm just saying there's like a million personal trainers / bartenders out there in the world. Like, I feel like that's like very standard combo. It feels like it's like
an extension. There are a million ants in the world. It doesn't make the watermelon slices even lighter that you're like, carrying in a line down the picnic.
When you hear of like someone who is like putting in a 9-hour shift at a store and then has like an hour to eat and then has to put in a 6-hour shift at like overnights at like CBS or something, that's I kind of feel like the vibe that they were saying it in. And it's like, oh, he's a personal trainer / bartender. Okay, like, well, welcome to LA. It's like standard.
So, I couldn't do any of this. They said train 7 days a week, bartends on the weekend. And I was like, I took a nap. Like, I literally pulled a Katie and Lala watching Beverly Hills. I went to the corpse pose. I was like, bye, I'll finish notes later. So then Lala's like, okay, I'm going to ask you some questions, Dansk. Okay. Now, do you want your training to become the main focus of your life? Now, so what are you doing? What kind of bartending is it? Is it serious bartending? Is it just beer pouring or is it like muddling? Do you muddle, Dan? Dan, tell me about muddlings.
Have you ever been married? Did you ever take a girlfriend in a trolley before? Would you have considered not going in the trolley? Can you stand up while being on that trolley? What about that? When was your last relationship? And he's like 5 to 6 years ago. And how come that ended? Did you not take her around a trolley? After the wedding, when was the last time you guys saw each other? By the way, did you guys have a trolley? Did you go to the Grove and go in the trolley there? How many trolleys have you guys been into on your entire relationship?
And she's like, Dan is handling this interrogation like a champ. He's not even breaking a sweat. But I'll be damned if another person. Finger gun, finger gun, finger gun, finger gun, hot dog fingers. She does her nails are so long, they kind of remind me of hot dog fingers from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
You know how like in that alternate universe, they all had hot dog fingers. Every time she whips out those fingers, I just want them to start like hot dogging. But she's like, no one is going to come into this group and use us again. We've been used enough.
Wow. I love her circling the wagons around this group of innocents. Like, we won't have anyone come to this group and be an asshole. I'm like, you realize you literally married Rand.
I mean, it's a show
based off of people being assholes to each other.
I can't protect this show from users when you literally married Rand. No, you didn't marry Rand. Why do I keep saying literally? I know they didn't get married. Why in my head are they married? They never got married, everybody. I know that, but she was gonna marry Rand.
Okay. Yeah. So, Dansk, do you want kids? And goes, I think so. Oh, because whenever someone says, I think so, I'm like, you should definitely hold off, you know? Jim's like, oh, yeah, I'm like, have you tried with Sandoval, yeah? And he's like, no. And what do you think about him? Well, I don't know him. I know what he's done. So, yeah, I'm not hearing great things. Hold on 1 second. I just need to step outside for 1 moment.
San Francisco!
So, I'm back now.
Nanking! Dan knows what Sendable's done! Wiki, 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 bing, bing, trolley remix!
I just played the House of Nanking, everyone!
Nanking uncut, James Kennedy. So Sheena's like, okay, well, are you alone? Last night, I put like things in a new perspective for Tom. I was like, have you ever thought about weaponizing Ariana's mental health on top of what you already did? And she's like, yeah, duh. Yeah, because in that moment, I felt like I saw the mask fall a bit. Like, he really thought about it. And then he was like, I really need to think about... Yeah, Sheena, you just changed the fucking world by mentioning that Tom hasn't heard from the entire internet that telling the entire country that Ariana threatened to commit suicide when he said that he wanted to leave her. Yeah, everyone else has totally forgotten that, Sheena. You're a real fucking Nobel Peace Prize winner over there.
Well, what I was surprised at here was I thought her angle was going to be like, you know, I said... Did you ever did you realize that you were like weaponizing Ariana's mental health? And I thought Sheena was going to say, so I was standing up for you in that moment. But instead this all leads to her saying, and he was like, I really need to think about that. Like, oh my God, how did I not see that? I'm like, wait, so you're actually advocating for Sandoval? You're advocating like, look, I got through to him. He's changing. Yeah. He's going to be a good person now.
Yeah, that's what the whole episode is, her trying to get Ariana to forgive Sandoval for some reason, because that's what they're all pushing for. It's like, we need something to happen this season, and the arc would say, we finally forgive Sandoval, and we can all move on from this season.
Right.
There's no forgiving. There's no reason for that. This is so silly. This is the Bible. When people, you know, when people are forgiven? When they die. Okay. Mm. That's when they go to fucking heaven, possibly. You know, it's not like during life. Life, the life part of it sucks. Okay. The life part is full of sin and betrayal. Okay. Now, whether you're forgiven, you know, only God, Jesus, and the guy who blows the horn on the way in there knows. Okay. I shouldn't have to fucking deal with it. That's your own personal
story. The guy who blows the horn, unfortunately, is Sandoval.
This one's Gabriel. He's actually trained. So
Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel would be mortified. You just said that.
Imagine if it was Peter Gabriel. Wow.
It's like a synthesized horn.
You like what? You reach heaven, it's like every 5 seconds he's like, sledgehammer. Dun, dun. Enjoy. Enjoy. Welcome to heaven.
That's for the people who aren't forgiven. You see, he sledgehammers their asses back down to hell.
Listen, I know you think that you deserve to be in heaven, but let me tell you something. In your eyes, you deserve in heaven. In our eyes, you're going to hell. There we go. It's a joke.
Ben, whenever I'm with you, I realize, ooh, heaven is a place on earth.
All right, Belinda, this is my station, okay?
Sorry.
Peter Gabriel stuff.
Please let me into heaven, please.
So reach your hands to heaven and pray. I don't even know who you are. Breathe, is that the name of your band? I don't know.
So Sheena has finally pointed out that Sandoval has weaponized somebody's mental health. You know, she's really making strides. So Katie's like, so how many times are we gonna believe this man's quote unquote air quote? I know I just air quoted air quotes, but I just wanted to make sure that the air quotes were quotable enough that everybody heard them, even though they were made out of air. How many times are we supposed to believe this man's tears? Seriously.
I don't air quote. I quote. So Brock is like, no, but because she has a fucking friendship with him that you guys keep dismissing. And Katie's like, I don't believe a damn word, a damn tear that comes out of him. Everyone's trying to make this whole Sandoval situation way more nuanced than it actually is. When a guy fucks over your friend, fuck the guy. And I, at this point, Ronnie, when I was watching the show, I was like, it's strange because I'm actually really in line with Katie. And like, she's sort of like, I feel like Katie's having a really good season. She's sort of like on the right side of history for me. I'm like, Katie's doing a great job this episode. I think I'm going to end this episode being like, I think I officially like Katie. At this point of the episode, I say that.
Well, that's good. I don't need to make a statement on how I feel about Katie in every episode. It's so weird. I mean, I rag on everybody in these shows, and I feel like I'm always going to. I feel like it's become a scorecard of like, how do we feel about Katie today? Sometimes I like her, sometimes I don't. Just like everyone else on this fucking show. I will say, when she's aimed properly, she's a great Nerf weapon. You know what I mean? Like, she's shooting the Nerf bullets right where I like them, right where they're deserved this whole season. Yeah. So Katie's like, fuck the guy, you know, which obviously correct. So then Schwartz is like, I mean, he's not a trash person. He's just a good person who did a trash thing. And Ariana's like, a trash thing? Okay, a very trash thing. Just one thing then. Okay, one really super trash thing. Well, like, he's not getting it at all.
Yeah, she's like, you need to watch what table you're at when you talk like that. No, I mean a horrible, horrible trash. The worst trash you've ever smelled. Like fish bones and like rot, like spoiled milk. Terrible, terrible trash. You can leave if you want to talk like that. He did a trash. Like, it was the worst trash of all time. I'm sorry, Ariana. I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't realize it was awkward.
And she's like, a singular one thing. It's like, okay, it's Oscar the Grouch. He's a green fuzzy monster just popping out of a trash can. What do you want me to say?
Stop, oh, it's a boy. It's just an innocent boy. I'm sorry, House of Mankind.
And so Lala's like, Ariana tries to put on a cool girl vibes, but she cares a lot. Bang, 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 finger banks, finger guns.
Lala, who is this the definition of Lala's whole persona for the past 8 years of our lives. Try to put on a cool girl vibe, but cares a lot. We could just roll back all the footage of every scene of Lala. So Ariana's like, watch how you talk like that in front of me. She's like, yeah, when she gets out of this, like, Sandoval's a monster and Ariana's the victim, she'll have to go through a mourning process, and I don't think she wants to deal with that. I do agree that Ariana has to go through a mourning process, but, like, why does anyone have to get out of the mindset that Sandoval's the monster and Ariana's the victim? Ariana was literally the victim. She was, like, this is not one of those cases where it's like, oh, stop playing the victim. She literally was cheated on in a mortifying and, like, traumatic way.
But the whole thing is, why do they have to bring it up every 2 seconds? It's over. Just let it fucking die. This isn't like real life. No one does this in real life where you're like, oh my God, would you make up with your ex, please? Oh my God, are you going to ever talk to your ex again? Oh my God, let's not talk about how she's feeling about her ex.
Especially like, 3 months after it happened.
Just fucking drop it. It's over. You know what I mean? It's just like people on your app. I'm so sick of talking about it. And we have to because we're fucking recappers talking about what these losers are talking about. It's over. Just let it die. I mean, she's letting the guy be around. So what? Why do you guys have to keep pushing her into scenes? And fuck off, Lala. Bring Rand in here. How have they not brought Rand in for one scene just to watch this girl lose her fucking mind and go over the edge? She's such a fucking hypocrite. I can't.
Yeah, I agree. So Katie's like, Brock, you haven't been there for my entire lived experience. And Brock's like, well, I haven't been there for none of you guys' lived experience in this group. I was just a wee babe knocking on the doors of the NFL before I met any of you guys. So she's like, okay, so then stop then. Oh, I'm fighting for my wife. She feels some kind of way. Listen, and Ariana's like, yeah, and Katie's doing the same thing. She's also fighting for your wife because she's defending her against the behavior that's been exhibited towards her by him, the trash person. Trash. He's a trash person, Schwartz. I'm sorry. He's a trash person. Please forgive me.
And just on the other side, this is where I think the argument is being lost on her side because, no, you're not. You don't need to defend Sheena from the trash, from the way that Tom Sandoval treated her. Sheena has her own relationship with Tom. You need to stop making it about like, oh, I'm standing up for Sheena really in the end. No, you're not. You're standing up for yourself as you have every right to. And if you make it other people's things, like I'm really standing up for you, that's what I'm doing. Then it just makes them be like, but I don't need you to. And then it invalidates your whole thing. You don't owe these people anything. And you certainly don't owe any scenes with Tom to Sheena. And
well, she's not standing up for Sheena. I think she's trying to remind Sheena, like, don't fall for his charm attack. Because Sandoval's really good at being charming and really good at making you feel, like, you know, special. But just know he's insincere and his motives need to always be questioned at all times. And, like, I'm sitting here saying, like, don't forget the shit that he did to you, Sheena. You're being, like, kind of, like, swayed by the fact that, you know, he paid you $1,000 on PayPal 10 years ago. Like, don't forget the way he has not been great to you. So Katie is like,
I get it, but it's different when you're just friends with somebody. Who cares if he's sincere? He PayPals her and hires her people. That's all she cares about. She doesn't care about his ultimate sincerity in a deep relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So now we go back to the Argonaut Hotel and there's Brock and Sheena's room. There's roses everywhere. And she was like, oh, what's that? And he's like, oh, I arranged it. I said, I want to have a bouquet of flowers in here. And I said, I also want a wallaby. And unfortunately, the wallaby went nuts with the flowers, but actually made it look really romantic. So it worked out pretty well.
And she's like, oh my God, like, I'm so glad I got that conversation out of the way with Ariana, because now she knows that thanks to me, Tom Sandoval may know that him weaponizing someone's mental health state might not have been a good thing. And he's like, did you tell her that you made up with Tom? She's like, oh my God, don't say that, honey. It's not that I made up with him. Sorry, internet. He misspoke. Okay. It's just that we had another step forward and we had a breakthrough combo. And then maybe one day we can maybe possibly be friends. But right now we're not really friends. Oh my God. Hold on. I just got a PayPal notification. We are. No, it was just the PayPal credit card. No, we're still not friends. We're still not friends.
Commercials. Here comes one right now. In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Reyes Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So meanwhile, over in Sandoval's room, there's like, now his light is green. He's changed his lighting scheme for the afternoon, I guess. Schwartz walks in. He's like, oh man, we just had probably one of the best meals our entire life. I mean, I don't think I've ever had such a good meal. And everyone was there. Oh, except for you. Oh man, I'm sorry. Oh, anyway, well, I feel like I got to know Dan better and he's fucking great. He's the best. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I keep forgetting that you're not allowed to talk to him. Oh man, so in summary, best meal of my life with the coolest new friend I've ever met. Huh? Oh, sorry again.
Yeah, it was so great. He was so great. It was so fun. That's why Dan rhymes with man. He's the man. Can't wait to move in with him. Oh, sorry. Tom, is it green in here?
Theories.
And Sandoval's like, yeah, I know. Ariana's got a good taste in men, bro. Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, well, we kept it pretty civilized. And Brock spoke from the heart. And it felt like the girls were being like hypercritical of Sheena, just for talking to you. It was crazy. All the girls, ah! Here was Dan. Oh, I'm Dan. I'm handsome. I'm so handsome. I'm a hero. And then here were the girls. Bah! But then here was Dan. Oh, everything's great. But then here are the girls. Foaming at the mouth, eating dead body parts off the road.
Oh, wait. And then here was James. San Francisco. He just kept on yelling it. So then Sheena's FaceTiming with Lisa. This is Lisa's only appearance in the season finale. She's like, oh, sweetie, good luck tonight. Thank you. You look pretty. Thank you. Are you ready to give them apples? Thank you. Okay, all right. So Brock, please shake him a little bit. She's stuck.
Darling, I'm so glad you could get a hold of me while I'm on the Vanderpump Rules off-ramp.
Where's that? What are you talking about?
Oh, it's called the set of Vanderpump Villa. Surely nothing can go wrong here.
Well, I did have, like, a really good conversation with Sandoval, and I feel like we've, like, taken a few steps forward to where he, like, actually listens to me now.
Well, I mean, look, Sheena, you've had a long history there. He PayPal'd you once. You spoke to him. Let me ask you a question. Do you still love him?
Yeah.
Well, there's your answer. And here's my answer. You're too poor for me to keep talking. Now I must go talk with Martin. Goodbye.
So then to Lala and Katie's room, Lala's like, Sheena's got so much pressure on her. And it's like, she just needs to have approval from Ariana.
Yeah, Ariana's like, not going to be like, I really support this. That was
yeah, but she just needs to like, she just needs to acknowledge the fact that Sheena had long relationships with Sandoval and to be like, if you need to work something out with Sandoval, just, you know, I still love you.
Yeah. And Kitty's like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Lala's like, right. That's pressure on Sheena because she now has to live her life for someone else who's thriving, but has mad rules for everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think ultimately you do have to do that, right? Be like, okay, you know, just keep it out of my face. Do whatever you're going to do on your own time. But enough trying to make me shoot with him or have conversations with him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of that comes from just being so hurt.
I think that, like, that's the thing. It's like, this is 3 months after this whole thing happened. This thing was such a shocking thing for the audience. You know, like, how outraged were we? We were touring at that time, and every show we did, it was like, boo. I'll never forget that show we did in Charlotte. It was our first live show, like, 5 days after this all happened. And it was like, people were like, ah! Like, everyone was angry. We were, you know, all like, fuck this guy. There was so much rage for us. And we're just spectators. Ariana was actually on the receiving end of this. And I think she's allowed to have moments of perhaps irrational rage and anger and being like, fuck this guy. And if anyone is a mutual friends with him, I don't want to even hear it. Because, by the way, let's not forget that Lala was the one who set this precedent the season before, who said, who gathered everyone for a rooftop meeting and said, if anyone is friends with Rand, they're not going to be friends with me. And I'm going to make you sign this paper, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I just think that there's like, it seems like there's no leeway for her. And I think that like we are seeing Ariana start to sort of come back down and be like, I still don't fuck with this guy. You want to fuck with him, fine. It may affect our relationship, but whatever. I'll still be your friend. Don't worry about it.
So Katie's like, Sheena feels like she should be the exception to this boundary that Ariana set for herself. But Tom did not just make a mistake. He made choices over and over again, every day for like months. And he's done nothing but double down on those choices. Bubba, you want to go have lunch? I'll be right down.
She's right, though. She's right. Like, it has been sort of like, Sandoval's done a really good job of being like, well, like, dude, I just like did something that was like, I just like messed up. It's like, you know, you didn't mess up.
I know. I'm just like, I'm so glad this is ending. I'm literally so sick of talking about this. Not you. I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying it to you, show. Every single episode, it's like, oh my God, Ariana should be mad. Tom's a cheater. I know. Tom's a fucking piece of shit. I just need them to do something else on this show. This show cannot limp along on this crutch that somebody cheated. Like, I can't take any more of talking about somebody cheating, especially someone like that. I don't even like him in the first place. I don't want to. I just hope that there's some ending where he just gets run over by a cement truck. Like, we need to have some kind of closure. I can't take it.
So Schwartz says,
I'm sorry. Well, about it.
I mean, what else can I say? So Schwartz is like, I mean, I like it. I like the show. I think it's a great season. So Schwartz is like, how was your conversation with Sheena last night? And Sandoval's like, it was really good. She told me to like maybe consider apologizing to Ariana for like revealing some of the mental health stuff. And I think that's like something I could do for sure. Like, that seems like a really great like button for my arc. So yeah, I'm going to do it.
Oh God. So he's like, yeah, I'm not like not trying to be buddy buddy with Ariana. I mean, I know that's not going to happen. I just want the tension to subside a little bit, you know? So Schwartz is like, just have the conversation and don't be, you know, don't be defensive. And he's like, I just want to be like, you know what? I'm like working on myself, like taking actual action to make myself a better person. You know what I mean? Like, to be a better person, you need to like go to sleep with purple light and then have green light in the day. Like, I'm light adaptable now. She knows how important that is to her room.
Yeah, and if like weeks, months, years, decades from now, if she ever needs me, I'll always be there for her, especially if she's got a hot girlfriend. She can call me anytime.
Yeah, I can't wait till she starts calling Tom Sandoval for things. You fucking idiot. Sure, what's she going to call you for? A face shaver? A glass pipe? Shut the fuck up. Certainly not a pitch pipe. Be quiet over there. I'll call you.
Pitch pipe. So now it's time to get ready to go to Kyle Chan's event, which I could have sworn they had said on a previous episode that it was going to be held on like a private island, or maybe I just added the private island part, but they did say island or whatever. It turns out it's Treasure Island, which is that island. It's like a park, and it's that, I think there's some sort of like federal something on there, but like it's the island you drive over when you're doing the bay, going across the, when you're doing the Bay Bridge. You know, when you do the Bay Bridge. I'm going to do the Bay Bridge today. When you go across the... Anyway, the point is this. I thought he was going to be on an exotic island in San Francisco, and I was so confused. And it's just like... It's like a regular island. It's like going to Roosevelt Island in Manhattan, I feel like. I'm just really glad that I clarified that for the audience. So anyway, I want to make sure everyone knows exactly what my thoughts were about this island and the concept of it, my expectations, and the execution.
I do not approve of this location. I do not approve of the building.
I came into this episode with a certain expectation of what kind of island the Kyle Chan would be on.
They really sold me on this island, and it's not what I thought it was.
And it was really, if I had known it was merely just the island the Bay Bridge makes a visit to on the way to connecting both sides of the bay, I would have had a totally different outlook on the episode.
So we meet Hassan, the sound guy, and she's like, oh my God, are you Hassan, the sound guy? Are you like the guy from LA? Are you like from LA? Wait a minute, Tom Sandoval, you flew a sound guy from LA to take care of the sound just for me? This is the most important thing anybody's ever done for me. Tom Sandoval, you, thank you so much. You made my life worth it, Tom. Good person alert. Good person alert.
And you didn't even tell me you would be doing this. So it all feels actually very like she knew this was happening no matter what already. Like it felt a little, something felt a little staged about this. So she says, this is the person that I remember. He's my friend who does things for people, who hires audio engineers for people who want to sing on Treasure Island, which is actually a fairly standard island and not an exotic island, it turns out. He's my friend. And you know what? It's so genuine. And that's what like made this whole fallout so hard. I do remember who he was for me for like 15 years, but that's just me making it all about me again.
But you literally are making it all about you. Still, you're so ridiculous. And to pretend that he's just the friend that does things without you knowing, you had a full pre-production meeting about what Tom was going to do for the sound to help you at this show. I mean, we just saw it last week.
Yeah.
Fuck. So then people start coming to the venue and stuff. And Tom Schwartz is like, whoa, it doesn't feel like we're on an island right now. Hold on a second. Anybody feel like they're on an island?
Hello, San Francisco.
Oh, my God. I'm in an island DJ set. I'm totally here now. I'm in it.
I just played Treasure Island. Wiki, wiki, wiki.
So now people are taking pics. There are a lot of people at this Kyle Chan party. I'm not going to lie. I was surprised. I thought this was going to be like a 75-person thing. I did not know that Kyle Chan had such a following, especially in the Bay Area.
Well, I think he's got a lot of friends that are counting on that discount. Listen, people will do a lot for a jewelry discount.
And they probably hear that Vanderpump Rules is filming on Treasure Island, and they're like, I'm in.
So here's the thing, and I forgot to mention this at the beginning. Now, here's the thing about this finale also. They really set us up from the beginning of the season. Well, the show didn't, but the world did. Life did. Life set us up for expectations, guys. And that is that there is a messy queen who starts a physical altercation and throws a drink on somebody. So
I was waiting for all episodes.
We're all waiting for that. Like, when is this going to happen? Okay, I just have to point that out.
This was in the trailer. I rewatched the trailer, by the way.
Oh, it was in the trailer. So they did set us up for this.
I rewatched the trailer after this episode was done to be like, I'm pretty sure we saw that someone throws a glass of water at Sandoval. So I was like, okay, finally, we get to see this, what this water toss was that they used to get us into the show. So naturally, they will, of course, show it on this episode. So
bastards.
I'm so mad. I'm actually really mad about it. So they all get there. I thought it was funny that Sheena was doing sound check during the party. Did you notice that? She was like, the party was going on, and she's like, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testing, testing. It's weird.
So then we get a shot of Sheena's trajectory, her like behind the music with Sheena Shea. Where she's like,
this is the first time I'm not performing solo because, like, I have a band of dudes behind me and I'm, like, so used to, like, you know, performing on top of a bar after a couple of tequila shots.
And it's, like, black and white shots of, like, the Beatles driving through town. But it's, like, Sheena on a bar at Cobras and Matadors.
It's literally, like, Abbey Road. It's Abbey Road, but it's literally just, like, her walking from the Abbey on the road in West Hollywood.
Scabby Road.
So, Ariana arrives and Sheena is showing up and Ariana has a sty that's coming in. So that's
her big... that kind of year, guys. It's
so
that kind of year.
James and Allie are kissing and James says, stop being so freaking cute.
San Francisco.
I was talking to the city, not to you, Allie. You're just a slut. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Hey, do you want to go check out the sunset outside before it goes down? Okay, let me whisk you away. She's like, okay. So they go outside.
It's been such a nice weekend with everyone out in the Alley Bally. I wonder if everyone's going to make up with Tom Sandoval. Do you think Ariana's ever going to talk to Tom Sandoval again? I wonder if Ariana would have babies with me. She's like,
yeah, it's so fun. I miss hippies so much. I miss the cats. I just want to go home. But I'm having fun. Know what I mean?
Speaking of hippie, I know I said that hippie was my priority, but you are my priority. You're my number one priority, after hippie, of course. And I love you more than anything. My heart explodes when I'm with you, which, sorry, this is just a speech I'm preparing for hippie. Every morning I'm just like, I'm the luckiest man on the planet to have found hippie again. Oh God, I love you, hippie. I would do anything to make you happy. Happy hippie. Happy, happy hippie. Oh my God, it works. Okay, hold on. It's like I've remixed my own dog. Happy, happy hippie. Wiggy, wiggy, hippie, hippie, happy, happy. Anyway, Ali, thank you for understanding.
I'm going to open the ring cam on my FaceTime and see if I can FaceTime hippie and get that speech out.
Hello, San Francisco. Dong, dong, dong.
Well, it really means a lot to me. It really does. And I know I'm not ready for marriage yet, but when I do get married, I want to get married to Mr. Beggs.
How dare you, Ali Bailey? I gave you my heart. I left my heart literally in San Francisco.
So it's like, when I was a teenager, I had my life mapped out in front of me, right? You're going to meet the love of your life at 24. You're going to get married at 26. Babies come out at 28. My dad had me at 28. Just following my dad's footsteps. Please don't. Have you seen your father lately? Don't do that.
Don't do that.
No. And then we see a picture of his father. If that doesn't teach you to drink your green juice and go to the dentist.
Mm. Dentist at the very least. So he says, yeah. I wouldn't change anything because it led me to where I am today. And I love Ali Bailey more than anything. I would tell younger James, you're going to go through a lot of shit before you find someone that truly makes you happy.
Didn't someone just already have this monologue on Bravo this week? did this already happen? Am I crazy? What did you watch? What happened?
Let's see who.
Oh, it's Teresa.
Martha's Vineyard.
It was Teresa for Louis. So it's good to see that Teresa and James are on the same trajectory.
Yeah, both messes who are pretending that they don't flip tables anymore. And we all know that that's a damn lie.
Yeah. Okay. And we knew it didn't happen on Summer House Martha's Vineyard because nothing happens on Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
Yes, it does. They party and they... I mean, Summer House. You know, what do you do on Summer House? You party. You drink. Nothing happens on Summer House. Does it? Sir, has the other Summer House had things happening that I've forgotten about?
Oh, how dare you?
We've had a lot of parties, so...
Yeah, I've been looking for a job, so... Just trying to figure out my career. I'm like really overwhelmed, Ronnie. Just trying to think about what's happening this season. I'm like really overwhelmed right now. You look great, by the way.
So Joe arrives. They're really just trying whatever they can, bless their heart. So Joe, somehow we're supposed to pretend that Joe is naturally invited to this party in San Francisco after totally getting dumped by the only cast member she was connected to. But hey,
she could be a big Chan head. She could just love that Kyle Chan jewelry.
So she's like, I love Schwartz. I love him so much. We make such a good team. I would have liked to have been together. That would have been great. But like, who's Batman? Who's Robin? Like, you look up at the sky, you're like, is that a bat? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Do I have a rifle? Should I shoot? I wouldn't shoot it. I wouldn't shoot it. Who am I kidding? I don't shoot things. Why am I even talking like that? I love Schwartz. I'm going to be here for Schwartz forever.
Schwartz, I'm right behind you. It's me. It's me. I'm right behind. Hey, Schwartz. I like your hat.
Just kidding. It's my hair. It's my hair on top of your head. Because it's me, Joe, right here.
He goes, it breaks my heart, but am I just supposed to lay down in bed and cry? I'm like, sure. Actually, that sounds like a lot of fun, personally. And she says, at the end of the day.
Are you saying there's something wrong with that method? Because I do it every day.
I mean, I would cry. I would just cry just because I'm crying over Schwartz. I'm like, I can't believe I'm crying over Schwartz. That makes me cry more. You know, at the end of the day, I just want him in my life for the rest of my life. Oh, you know, that's what I also said to Charlie, my turtle, but, you know, gutters happen. Whoops.
The other day, I went to her Instagram for some reason. I was just seeing her stories. I was like, I wonder what a Joe story is like. Oh, my God. It's like, guys. Okay. So, you know what I really like, heads? I'm so sorry. Heads or tails? Like, literally, who knows? You know what? I just hit my head on my surfboard. I got a concussion, guys, so I don't know words right now. So, and then it's like cuts. It just kind of cuts off mid-sentence, and then it's a different outfit and different lighting. And she's like, yeah, concussions, right? It happens. Surfing. It really hurt, I think. I don't really remember because I'm concussed. God. I would like to say things I really don't remember. And then it's like a different outfit and like set. It's like a different hairstyle, a different haircut, different hair coloring. And she's like, guys,
guess what I got today? A concussion! A concussion, guys!
From a surfboard, not even lying, really hurt. Guys, you are so nice to me on the internet, except for the people who aren't nice to me. And I just want to say, guys, choose kindness. And if you choose surfboards, also choose seatbelts. Even though that sounds kind of dangerous and you could drown if your surfboard drowns. But surfboards don't drown because they're not made out of drowning kind of materials, although humans are. So wear a seatbelt. What am I talking about? Concussion. It's like I've never been more entertained by a concussed person in my life.
Unfortunately, she had put her surfboard on a table at Chipotle and then fell on to the soda machine, which is where she got her concussion. I was just trying something new.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. We want to hang with Liz Lang. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We forever love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.